There we go. And here we are, a beautiful sunny day today.
Yes, here too as well. It's 24, 25 degrees Celsius, centigrade, all yes. Those metric names for a temperature.
Well, we're around 20-ish.
Ish. Not ski weather.
Thankfully, no.
Well, it's coming up to summer doldrums time, you know?
Yeah, I know. Having worked in the government, most things kind of grind to a halt, and it'll be about Christmas time before things start to get normal again, and then it'll be time to take Christmas holidays off. So
that's right. All things come to all people who wait long enough.
Some days I'm thinking I'm not going to live long enough for that.
Well, as soon as you get your EV, it'll be okay.
Yes, that's an interesting issue. Getting people to buy vehicles with money that I put in my taxes, whether I want them to have it or not.
Well, you're a generous guy.
Is that confused with being stupid?
You can't use those words. I'm sorry. That's one of those words you can't use anymore.
Okay. Okay. I think there's a tear there, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. I'm just want to make sure you understand that there are words you cannot use. In fact, one day we'll have a special broadcast that'll be words we're not allowed to use.
I think George Carlin started that, didn't he?
That's right. Well, you're right.
I don't think there's
words you're not allowed to use on whatever it was.
I don't think there's any of those now that are censured out.
No, that's right. Those words are okay now.
Well, that's true. Well, I don't know if they're okay, but they're used.
Well, yeah. The F word is perfectly okay these days, apparently.
Yeah.
It's used all over the place.
Mm-hmm. It's an adjective, a noun, an adverb.
Yes. And apparently nobody gets upset. But don't say stupid, because you'll trigger somebody.
Yes.
We are so out of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Out of tune with the current jive. Oh, can we use the word jive?
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe. Okay.
I guess it gets to a point that... maybe I'm a bit late. What's the British Piers
Morgan?
Fine, you know, be what you want to be. And maybe it sounds callous and cruel. I don't really care what you do. I don't care what you call yourself. I don't care how you identify. That's between you and what you want to do. It really has nothing to do with me at all. So I can live with that if you can live with me not really caring.
Yeah, that's the thing. All these things that are going on today require me to validate someone else's views, and I really do not care. You know, if you're a vegan, feel free to be a vegan, but I don't need to be a vegan. Okay. You go and eat all the carrots you want, but I don't like carrots, okay? And I don't need to eat carrots, and I don't need to bless you for eating carrots. You want to go eat, feel free. And you know, that's kind of the philosophy that I think needs to be reestablished in sort of normal society, that as long as you're not harming me or my interests, you do whatever you like.
Absolutely. I don't have a fundamental problem with what's going on. I mean, I may not like it. I may not agree with it, but
yeah,
that's what it is. And
this to me, this is, you know, the ultimate sort of silliness that's going on these days. We have all kinds of folks, these marketing geniuses, who think that they can prop up the profits of a corporation by aiming their marketing talents at a small portion of the population, regardless of what that might be. And then it turns out that no, it doesn't work. So then you have another problem, and that is, well, gee, we put this company out of business because we had some harebrained scheme that really nobody asked for. And so we get a lot of that happening. And without dancing around the issue, if you want to drink beer, drink whatever beer you like. Okay. If you feel so put out by whatever the marketing was for a particular brand, then don't buy their beer. And I think that's really what it comes down to. And this angst about, gee, you must validate, what beer you drank. No, I don't need to do that. It's
If I happen to like Coors Light, but I disagree with their campaign, then it's my choice to either stop buying that particular brand or look for something else to fill it in. And somewhere along the line, we've lost sight of the fact that it's kind of a common sense thing. If it offends you, don't do it. If you don't care,
But
don't do it,
do you really think that if you pick up a can of beer, that you spend a great deal of time looking at the label of that can of beer and going, well, I'm going to drink this particular brand because that's going to make me feel better than if I bought some other kind of beer? Or it's going to prove that I am the sort of person that everybody's going to acknowledge is a open and fair-minded person because I'm drinking this brand of beer. That is the goofiest stuff going when you think about it.
Ultimately, yeah, it is. And if I go to a pub and sit down and have a beer, my preference is to go with a draft beer over a bottled, but that's just a personal preference. And I drink it because I want to feel the nice, cool, refreshing taste of the beer. Yeah.
Right.
And if it happens to be a Coors beer, it happens to be a Bud beer, or it happens to be Michelob, or it happens to be Heineken.
The only beer I don't want to be served is the one that has a lot of dust on the bottle. And that's because that's a lousy beer and it's at the back of the cooler. Nobody drinks that stuff.
Or alternatively, it could be one of those very rare beers that it's been hidden away for a special purpose.
What special purpose would that be?
Well, don't you remember those things like they did in the end of World War II when the units got together and they bought a bottle of scotch and they all got together at a reunion and they had one bottle that was left and
I know. It's like the guys that were in Doolittle's Raiders. Yeah, and then the last bottle was the last guy or the shot. Yeah. Yeah. I never thought of
On a positive side, that's what it could be, and it could very be a very good beer, but you're wrong in a way. It's probably just what you said.
I just it's just a systematic of our systematic or what's the word I'm looking for? The systemic values of our times, where we agonize over what beer we bought or it's just the tyranny of marketing by people who are, for some reason or other, demanding that everybody follow some sort of cultural or social or economic standard they've invented.
And I guess you're right. It gets down to a point that in the 60s and 70s, we were condemning people for doing cultish things.
Yes.
And now I guess it's okay to have a cult. I don't know.
Well, it's a question of how much tolerance are these corporations willing to provide to their customers or their clients or what have you. Because this is the part I don't understand. If you're making beer or widgets or whatever, your job is to make beer or widgets. You're not there to convince people to take on some new social standard, or it's like, imagine if you were selling religion. Okay, so that if the company that made, I don't know, cars said that every car has to have a cross on it, otherwise you can't buy that car. You have to buy it with the cross. I go, what are you talking about? We're driving a car, we're not talking about religion. I know that's a little bit strange, but it's no stranger than trying to tell me that if I'm drinking a beer with a rainbow on it, then suddenly I'm going to be a person who has no trouble with pride programs. I mean, no, this is nonsense. So what I would want to do as a shareholder in a company would be to make sure that my checks come in regularly and I'm making money. I really am not interested in turning the customers of the company that I have shares in to some sort of group, cult group that is going to essentially change the world or whatever. I mean, this is so screwy when you think about it, And if you're going to look at these companies who that are feeling the pain, you might say, of dumb marketing. I mean, it's really just dumb marketing. You wonder if the shareholders don't revolt and take the executive of these companies to task. Say, excuse me, but I had my pension fund invested partially in your company, and some screwball in your marketing department has reduced the value of my pension by 30%. Thank you very much. Who made that decision? I want those people from the CEO on down to be on the carpet for it. And it's not a matter of boycotting the company. It's a matter of, why are we getting so many silly decisions being made at the corporate level? Because some of these, I would call them spineless executives, or there's that word again, stupid people have been coerced into doing something that is really, look, if you want to be an evangelical about some cause, come out openly and do that, but not at the expense of, some group that basically has nothing to do with your cause.
Well, I guess it goes back to the Coke Zero, Coke this, Coke that,
Oh, Coke Classic. I remember. Yeah.
and it became a marketing ploy, and people didn't like it, and it's disappeared, right? I mean,
Oh, long ago.
it's a marketing thing. What was the old thing in government? Let's throw this Jell-O against the wall and see which way what'll stick, or let's run this up the flagpole and see who salutes. And that's really all this should build down to is you put an indicator something on your product, it will people are going to buy it or they're not going to buy
Except
it.
the screw up in the marketing, if you use the Coke new Coke Classic version of all those years ago, it didn't suggest to people who were drinking Coke that if you didn't do that, you were somehow some sort of social outcast. It was okay. This is the big difference here. That was a dumb marketing thing that nobody was interested in, but there was never any suggestion that if you liked the old Coke, that you were some sort of ism.
Well, that's true. And
And that's the
unfortunately,
big difference.
nowadays we've got the political bent on that, if you happen to wear your tinfoil with the shiny side out, you're not cool.
No, this is exactly the point. Why would you suggest that if you didn't drink a particular beer or did drink a particular beer, that you are somehow associated with or against, whatever the marketing gurus thought was a good idea. I mean, it just shows you how dumb some of these people are. And we've allowed dumbness, and my newest rant is dimwittedness. Can't use that word either, but there's a lot of that going around here in the
And I
press.
guess that's the whole point, is that, somewhere along the line, you're going to have to take control over your own destiny. If you like a particular product, buy it, right? Or don't. That's the big thing about living where we live. You have the choice to do that. And the sooner people stand up and decide that that is what they want to do, and let big corporations know, let governments know,
Yeah.
it's not going to change.
Everybody needs to validate someone else's political persuasion or particular viewpoint on culture or whatever. I don't want to validate anybody. I'll validate a particular product or a particular idea by consuming that product or supporting that idea. But to be
Good. Yes,
constantly
and that's true. Yeah,
Yeah, but to
I'll
be
catch you.
constantly inundated
Yeah.
by this group of very narrow-minded, because this narrow-mindedness to demand that everybody validate what they're doing, that is just so anti-human as far as I'm concerned. Okay, anti-democratic and all those,
Well, and I'm sorry, I would venture to say that whether a particular marketing ploy has overtaken a particular product, the product itself hasn't changed.
No,
Right?
it's beer.
It's
It's
beer.
Coke. It's a car. It's whatever product you want, or service. Like what annoys me now a lot is every time I get some sort of a flyer or a pamphlet in my with my bills or whatever, there's a little logo or something that I'm supposed to be supporting. I'm not support. I want to pay my. I'd like my power bill to go down. Not that I'm. Why is the power company suddenly on some sort of social thing? I mean, climate control one is a classic. Now everybody's on the climate change bandwagon. Whether they really mean it or not doesn't matter, but they're on it. And I find it so disingenuous, to see this stuff going on. And we have a whole gaggle of politicians that shamelessly get on this thing, and they really are shameless, I'm sorry, about the business of the fossil fuels that are just so bad. Meanwhile, they're flying all over the world nonstop, putting tons of carbon into the atmosphere that's supposed to be killing everybody. Please, or the one that we talked about during pre-production was the need to have in Canada, because this is the one about the electric vehicles. They're short 4 million charging stations. 4 million.
Well, no. And we did talk about, yeah, you're right. And to force, and it's like an arbitrary, by 2030, there will be no fossil fuel cars. Well, by 2030, there's no way that we're going to have enough electric charge stations in this country to power that particular fleet. And if we do, what are the wait times going to be?
Well, I think it's 2035 that they've said that they'll be not selling any internal combustion cars. You have to buy an EV. The only place you'll probably, I won't even say where you'd have to plug it in at that point because it'd be rude. But it's just so Pollyanna-like, this whole concept, because they don't. And we've talked about this before, the physics of it, the engineering of it, the whole, none of this stuff is ever talked about, how we get there. They don't talk, just throw money at it. You've got this abomination of the money thrown at multi-million dollar corporations like Volkswagen and Stellantis here in Canada, where the bill for all this EV battery nonsense is now hovering around 19 billion with a B dollars when all is said and done. Where the hell is a country of 38 million people going to come up with $19 billion?
I never was good at math, and I can't even tell you what that is per person. But anyway, it's ridiculous. And I guess even going back to Volkswagen, like, why are we giving tax incentives or tax credits to a company that makes double or triple that in profits every year.
Well, my theory, wait a minute, I got to put my tinfoil hat on.
Oh,
My
what
theory
side are you
is,
on?
was it the shiny side out?
Do half of your speech with it in and half of it without, but go ahead.
Okay. The Volkswagen thing, I believe, again, tinfoil hat, inside, shiny side out, is all about keeping Germany afloat as it goes down the toilet, as it deindustrializes. And somehow along the way, the government of Canada is coerced into spending money to save a German company like VW. Okay, because it's got nothing to do with batteries, in my view. This is all about they have made a horrible decision on all kinds of levels over there in Germany. They're deindustrializing at a rapid rate. And because, and partially because of the Ukraine war, suddenly our, again, this is just off the top of my head, we're giving the Germans a subsidy to stay alive in on economic terms, because that's a lot of money, $13 billion. Okay, for car batteries. And by the way, we won't, even if you think about it, even if this that went through and they were building, I don't know how many car batteries, are we, would all those cars be sold in Canada? No, all those cars are going to be sold someplace else. It's gonna, you know, we're going to make these batteries and they're going to be shipped back to Germany because they can't make batteries there because they haven't got any energy to make the batteries. But we'll help them keep Volkswagen afloat because that's our contribution to this whole war nonsense that's going on. I'm, I, you know, you kind of start connecting dots here.
And coupled with that too is that our illustrious leader,
One of them.
even that sounds like an oxymoron.
No, but illustrious is a positive.
Well, maybe it an illustrious wannabe. Anyway, regardless, he's the guy that lectured Germany about how he couldn't give them the LNG that they wanted
Correct.
to. So is this another part? We'll give you $13 billion because we told you to bugger off because you don't need our fossil fuels.
Well, how about the other gem? We'll give Stellantis, aka Chrysler, Fiat, whatever they call themselves, all that jazz. They're going to get a equivalent amount of money, again out of the, you know, the dollar fairy somehow. By the way, would you say our dollar's at 69 cents today? Isn't that lovely? I guess the 19 billion is having an impact. Future. And so they're saying, well, you know, that's not enough money. If you don't give us what you gave those other guys in Germany, we're just going to pack up our tents and go to the US. And I'm thinking, and why? You know, why are we competing with in Canada with a program in the US that is basically a country with 10 times our population, okay, who can go and say, well, you know, we can give you a tax credit, which means diddly squat to, you know, except that it'll create jobs for a bunch of Americans in Dearborn to make batteries. And basically what Canada is trying to do is emulate that same deal for 2,500 jobs in Windsor. And I know people who are watching us in Windsor will say, those are my jobs. And I'm thinking, yeah, okay, but at who's at how much is a job worth? How many other people don't have jobs in this country so that 2,500 union jobs can be saved in Windsor, Ontario?
Well,
You
I
know.
guess it also goes a bit back, Tom, like we were talking the other day. Does it matter what side of the border it's on if we could have these people go back and forth and make batteries in Windsor but live in Canada or in the United States?
Sure.
A job is a job is a job, and maybe in this particular case that would be a good, I want to say NAFTA, but it's not NAFTA anymore, USMCA deal, right? I mean, it should make more sense to pursue those avenues than it would be to have two separate governments trying to outdo each other on issues. Maybe
Well,
we should get together.
I agree. You know, I'm sorry, but I think there's some skullduggery going on with this whole business of these enormous amounts of dough supposedly that are going to capitalist profit-making dividend holding corporations. This is just, there's something just not right about it. And, you know, I think when the dollar is at 65 cents, like it was many years ago, these people will come to their senses, tout suite, as in the other official language. Well, Bob, it's shocking, you know, that no one's really figured this out yet. And this is our cousins to the south. I can't get my head around how you make a dollar but spend two, and that's okay, because this debt ceiling thing, you know, the you want to talk about skullduggery. How does that work? How could you, as a ordinary citizen, survive if you spent 30% more than you actually earned? How do you do that?
Well, I guess it's just one of those things that it's been going on for so long that it's become natural, and nobody's thinking about the day of reckoning. What was it? When the heck did they do the Domesday? God, that goes way back into Britain. You know, let's take all this stuff in together because the world's going to end tomorrow. And we want to know exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Eventually that Domesday book is going to hit here. You know, people just, we can't keep going the way we're going in the direction that we're going, in the manner that we're going.
No, but I mean, seriously, how do they convince so many people that this is okay? You know, I just can't grasp. Can't get my arms around it. I can't, for the life of me, understand how this discussion about financial responsibility seems to elude this bunch in Washington, and the Federal Reserve, and this whole cabal of guys and gals are in there, you know, spending more money than the taxpayer can give them.
Well, there's a couple of issues with that. And one, and it's not related just to our cousins of the South. It's here, it's in Europe, it's rampant across the globe. People just don't think anymore. They're guided by the fact that this is the way it's always been done. So that's the way it will continue to be done. And it goes well beyond monetary policies. It goes into immigration issues. It goes into...
Yeah, but this is right in front of our face, not hidden. This is not like a big secret. That's, look, I'll give you a parallel version of how we're sleepwalking into oblivion on financially speaking. Have you been to the grocery store lately and picked up a package of, I don't know, shredded wheat, or a package of pickle, or a bottle of pickles, or whatever? And all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, this box is smaller than the one I bought a month ago.
It costs two times more.
And it more the same price. And if you start strolling up and down the aisles, you realize real quickly that we've been hoodwinked here. Okay. New packaging. New packaging means that there's less product and you're paying the same price. This is called stealth inflation, stealth profit making. And everybody seems to be merrily going along with that. And maybe that's an exaggeration, but it's so evident to me that there's a lot of stuff going on because we're living in the, like I said, the era of dim-wittedness. We're buying this nonsense, you know, that.
And I think you're right on that, the dim-wittedness. And a lot of that has come up in the last 10 years, yes, where you can't really say anything, because you will be called out as being anti this or anti that or not supporting, or, you know. And I'm sorry, it's governments are not there to tell you how to think as much as they would like it.
Yeah, well, you know, the old saying that government is supposed to be serving the people and not the other way around. And at the moment, I think people serve government.
That's true. And we're continuing to do that with the tax dollars. Like, we're taxed on three levels. municipally, provincially, and federally. And I'm sure it's probably the same in the United States where your county, state, and federal. It's just me, folks. That's how much money I've got. You can't get any more out of me.
No, I really believe in my gut that we're sleepwalking into a catastrophe, financially speaking. I don't buy. You know, when a politician tells you everything is okay, first thing you got to go is, uh-oh, we're in deep trouble. Okay, the classic cliche of our illustrious government in here in Canada is, we've got the backs of the middle class. Yeah, you got the back, or it's a knife in the back of the middle class. Sorry. This is not a it's not a political statement. It's a reality. The middle class is shrinking, is dying under the continual assault on its ability to keep money in its wallet before it even gets to to the wallet. It's the arbitrariness of some of the decisions are being made by people who I wouldn't let them wash my car, much less some of the things that they're responsible for. I know this is we're a little bit
Well,
maybe we're getting angry that we're get to there are different stages of things, but now I'm starting to get a little bit miffed with the obfuscation, without calling them liars, you know what I'm saying? But
well.
there seems to be a something is going on here at the senior levels of both governments and bureaucracies that suggest that they really are able to manipulate the dimwitted any way they want to. They're not afraid of being caught with their pants down because it's almost a virtue with them. They're not afraid of any kind of backlash because they just wait till the next news cycle and they come up with some other thing to distract you with. I don't think they understand that there's a lot of angry people out there, below the surface. I'm not talking about running around with pitchforks and torches. I'm talking about people who are there seething. They don't believe they dislike the media. They don't believe what they're telling them. They certainly don't like politicians,
Well, I see
and they're
that.
not happy.
Well, a couple of issues with that. One, I don't like politicians. I did see on the flyby news the other day that our government is looking to have more MPs protected because they're feeling threatened. Well, I guess if you were doing your job and you were doing your job properly, you wouldn't feel threatened. The other side of that
The
coin
love
is,
of the people ain't there.
the other issue with that is okay, you're going to give Volkswagen $13 billion, and I'm sorry, people in the auto industry, however many jobs that turns out to be. How far would that $13 billion go into having more firefighters to help with the wildfires that are going on, right? Like,
About paying the nurses and the
and the
teachers,
nurses, and
a real wage. I mean, we're closing hospitals in this province because there's not
ours
enough
too, yeah.
to work the ERs. You know, I
We've
mean,
actually had several of our small communities where they're
so
in the back.
here's the thing: if you got $13 billion to give to a foreign corporation, but you don't have money to keep your hospital and your town open, someone tell me where this is right. Someone explain to me how this is a logical way to husband your resources.
Yeah. And I guess maybe that's a hope. We've in the family, the wife and I have talked a lot about this and wondering about what's going to happen with the next generation. And occasionally you see some pretty intellectual, bright young people that are, giving that glimmer of hope that we're not all going to end up down that zombie walk to doomsday. It can't come quick enough.
Vast majority of the problems we face in this part of the world in the Western Hemisphere are by our own hand. We've done this to ourselves. We've allowed nincompoops to be taking over very important positions in commerce, in industry, in government, because we didn't want to be seen as negative. I'm really having to choose my words here, because you know everybody gets triggered these days, but we've allowed this as you said, in the last 10 years there's a whole bunch of folks who are doing things that they have no business doing because they have neither the skill or the education or the experience, none of those things. But we wanted to do this just because, or what, however this leadership did it, because they didn't want to have resistance from, you know, the media or be called, you know.
Well, I guess that just goes, it goes back.
I'm at a loss for words why we've allowed everybody who got a trophy to go ahead and do things they know nothing about. And we're talking, yeah, you know, a significant number of people in terms of overall numbers, but an insignificant number of people when you compare them to the vast number of the population. So, you know, you call them elites, you can call them what you like, but there's something very wrong here when there's so many things that don't work anymore. Mm-hmm. Whether it's in industry or government or in science or in education, you go, you know, it's starting to pile up one on the other. Why don't things work like they used to?
And on top of that is that you're right. A debt ceiling, whatever you want to call it. There's only so much money, and you can't
invent. Listen, if you didn't pay your credit card, the bank would take your credit card away, and next thing you know, got a guy knocking on your door every 24 hours saying, "Where's my money?"
Mm-hmm.
You know. Anyway, we're down to our last minute.
We've ranted
for almost 30 minutes, Bob.
And you know, I guess if we've ranted enough and it's made some people think and it's made some people give themselves one of these, or I never thought about it, then maybe it's been a good thing. And I hope that there are a few people out there that are thinking, like, particularly here in Canada, $13 billion to a foreign company, which really may or may not help our economy run along the line. When we are closing down hospital rooms, we're having a hard time getting people into the military. We're having a hard time getting people into the first responder roles. It's time to give your head a shake, folks.
I agree. Let's pick this up.
In the comments. Like us, don't like us.
Yeah, us. Exactly. All right. We'll pick this up next week.
You bet. Have a good weekend.
You too. Take care.
Bye.